I did. Frack.
Can't outstubble me. Ha! I can sit and wait all night. Hello, 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 hello.
Good evening to you.
Greetings. Good evening.
Good evening.
Questions and answers time. Ha! Who's the new dude?
I've met you before, Tia.
I know, you... Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Judith.
Uh-huh.
And...
You've never met my son. This is my son, Tyrell. Say hi to Tia.
Hello.
My voice sounds funny. Sounds as if it's echoing from the bottom of the cup.
It was.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Hi, Tia.
Hi. How's it going, Tony?
Good. I can't participate tonight. I'm going to run off here in a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
To take care of.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get down to business. Questions and answers. You got questions, I've got answers.
But I'm not going to take it all up myself.
Aren't we being mighty brave?
You're going to do what tonight?
Well, I'm going to let you guys ask me here because I always take it up all the questions.
I'll spread it out a little bit here.
No, you're going to spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead, guys.
Tear it up.
Tia.
Mm-hmm.
I got a personal problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the verge of total panic for about a month.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've discussed it and we've brought in the specialist. Mind you, she's always around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's been doing some studying on human psychological disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And she will be arriving, like some other people that were supposed to be here at 8 o'clock. That arrived after the time. I get confused with it.
I got here before 8 o'clock.
Not according to our chronometer, you didn't. You got there like 5 minutes after 7, which is 8 o'clock your time.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's after.
Well, it's not 8:30, is it? Which normally would be.
True, normally, yeah.
I did get dessert and everything I promised, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. We let you off.
Thank you.
But only slightly.
Is it your turn in the barrel tonight, Russ?
How are you?
Hey, I got another question.
Mm-hmm.
Do your people, or you personally, believe in a supreme...
Mm-hmm.
The
supreme deity. Well, it's more along the lines of a supreme mental
creator.
Yeah, kind of. On my home planet, we have slightly different beliefs. We believe in the goddess, and we believe in the tree spirits and the water spirits and all sorts of different spirits.
Hmm.
But where I come from, the supreme being, as you would say, would be a goddess.
A goddess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but she created all things.
All things. Okay. She created first, and then she created everything else.
Okay. All right.
The story goes that she was lonely and wanted companionship. So she created lesser gods, and then the lesser gods were also lonely because they wanted things to play with. And then they created our race and the birds and the antelope and the trees and the funguses and all sorts of things.
Mm, okay.
And last of all, they created the dogs.
Mm, all right. That answers my question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But in my research, when I was studying religion, when I first arrived here, it seems that every... race has a supreme being. It doesn't matter if it's male or female. I think it's interchangeable now. Male or female is whatever it wants to be to suit the environment.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any gender per se, okay? I don't believe that there is.
Yeah, the Sumerians believe that it is a consciousness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That we're all parts of for want of a better word, a supreme being.
Mm-hmm.
That all our minds make up this supreme being.
I think we've got the same basic belief as human beings, because we're all children of the Supreme Being. Okay.
Yeah. Bri got into a theological discussion with a Syrian who is called a heretic. I think that's the correct phrase. And his comment was, who created the creator?
Yeah, that would be a very profound question.
Mm-hmm. And we argued backwards and forwards that, you know, the creator was created himself.
Came into being a conscious.
So it's a very deep philosophical and theological discussion to get involved in.
You could argue that one for days on end.
Oh, we're still arguing. He works for me. He's one of my best research analysts.
Well, like I say, you could discuss that for days
on end. Yeah, but apparently he's not allowed back to Syria because he's in disgrace because of his beliefs.
Well, it's just like in this world, people won't die for money, but they'll sure die for religion.
Yes, even on my planet, there were more wars caused by religions.
Different faiths and religions than any other possible.
Well, we've had one basic religion on my home planet for about 500 years, but there's all the different beliefs of that religion.
The spin-offs of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. We have the same thing here in the human race.
Yeah.
We have so many spin-offs from the original faith. Or the original religion.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of, well, not everybody, but a lot of people have interpreted for their own...
personal gain.
Yeah, personal gain or their own way of believing. Okay? Yeah. Maybe not personal gain, per se, but...
studying your own religious background, you have your Christian God. And then you have Islam that has another God. And then you have Buddhism that has another God. And they all teach love thy neighbor. Unless, of course, he's a different religion.
By the way, even with all these different names for their gods, the basic concept of all these faiths kind of run parallel right from the beginning all the way down to the present day.
They all have their basic...
supreme being.
Yeah, their basic laws. Love thy neighbor. Thou shalt not take somebody's life.
Or steal. Or bear false witness. Or honor thy father and thy mother. In other words, all these things in almost every faith run kind of parallel.
Yeah, but yet, one faith will go to war with another faith.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
They're different.
Yeah. It's a fear, I think it's your race's fear of being different.
Yes. People are afraid of difference.
The wars that we had on our planet when the one religion was coming into being was more along the lines of territorial conquest. And it took a lot of life and lots of people were killed. And it was quite nasty.
That would be about the same thing that's going on in the Eastern world right now with the Jewish faith and the other faith religion per se going on around them territorial wise, okay?
Yeah.
It's about the same thing. But anyhow, that's just kind of basically what I wanted to find out. I didn't want to get into a couple of week discussion on this thing.
but it could go for a long time.
Thank you.
You see, on my home planet, I was training to be a priestess.
That's what I understood.
So it is kind of a thing that makes me very curious. It's different religions.
I just picked up a book from a lady from the Mound that discusses all the human religions per se, okay?
Yeah.
The ones that you mentioned plus quite a few
others. Yeah, the nature of ones.
And that's how I picked up on the supreme being of each faith plus the down the parallel line of the different things in different faiths that kind of more or less correspond with each other. Like Buddhism has a prayer wheel and a rosary, and they have a lady and child as a goddess and her child. If you look at the Catholic faith, they pray to Mary Magdalene and Jesus, which is her child, with rosary beads. And that's kind of parallel right there.
Yeah. Oh, there's lots of parallels.
Although the languages are different.
Makes one wonder if there was contact between the two in the early formative years.
Well, according to the author of this book, he believes that these are parallel in the sense that our supreme being, when they were building the Tower of Babel, he confused people's words so they couldn't understand each other, so they couldn't continue to build this tower to reach the heaven. Not per se for the simple reason of not reaching the heaven, but for the simple reason that they were so preoccupied in building it that they had lost
contact
to their contact with the supreme being. So he confused their languages, and yet they all came from the same source, more or less, okay? So that their faiths and their languages run quite parallel. And a lot of their legends and stories and backgrounds and so on and so forth, even though that they have spun off into different faiths.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's quite interesting.
I didn't know that story about the tower. I have to look it up.
Oh, the Tower of Babel? Well, all people spoke the same language in the earth at one time. They decided amongst them that they would build this tower to reach the heaven to see God personally. Okay? Now, they concentrated on the construction of this tower so complete and absolute that they quit worshiping the supreme being. They lost their contact in prayer and so on and so forth because they were so obsessed with building this tower. To stop this and put the people back on the right track, more or less, God, this is why they call it the Tower of Babel, because the contractor or the architect couldn't understand the bricklayer because God confused their languages.
It's pure.
Yes.
Hold on a second. I want to interject something real quickly.
Go ahead. I'm just kind of a thought that maybe the Tower of Babel story is actually dissolution of what actually took place really in history. In other words, what really took place in history that we've studied with Amal is that in Babylon, which is real close to Babel.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. They used to build what are called ziggurats. And ziggurats are basically tall pyramids. Okay. They're stepped pyramids with a square top on top. And that's exactly what the Tower of Babel has been portrayed as in pictures I've seen of it. It's like a ziggurat, only really tall. But what we studied is that in prehistory, there was a battle between a couple of alien races in which a nuclear device was set off in Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Sinai Peninsula. And it could be that the story of Babel is actually a handed down version of what happened to Babylon.
It's possible. I hadn't done.
It was early Babylon, before, yeah. You know, Babylon was rebuilt.
Yes, I know it was.
But in Sodom and Gomorrah, about that same time, and Babylon was all pretty much wiped out.
Yeah. Now, I haven't looked it up in the text, okay, the Bible itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really give you an answer on that, on your context of it, okay?
Right.
I'll have to look it up in the Bible and see if that's the way they portray it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm thinking, boy,
it's really close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really
if something destroyed
that
particular tower that was just so destructive, it just wiped out everything around it.
Well,
I mean, it wasn't like a huge blast. It was like a little baby nuke. And there's still radiation being found there.
Okay.
In those areas.
From what I understand, it wasn't wiped out.
The people fled.
The people fled. Because they couldn't understand each other.
Well, it might be that they didn't understand each other, perhaps because such a devastation.
That could be too.
Would maybe wipe out some hearing, take away
sight.
various sight, ability to speak.
Yeah, right.
Sounds like you know, things are handed down
as
a diluted version of what actually took place in history, because Omal and I have discussed this on other terms, and it just clicked right now when you're talking about Babylon. Boy, the two, it just
really close. Mm-hmm. Well, they call it the Tower of Babel for the simple reason that when the words were confused between the people,
mm-hmm.
one person couldn't understand the other, so they babbled. All right.
Right.
Like the cement masons couldn't understand the contractors or the architects, or they couldn't understand the laborers or so on and so forth.
What if this was possibly a tale told by mothers to their children, saying, or to preachers, you know, or ministers or time, you know, elders or whatever, teaching about the hazards of trying to reach to God's level?
Yeah.
And they took a story that was actually factual, but so far back, and they turned it into something to make it into a lesson. The lesson made it into the Bible.
Well, now, okay, according to as I understand it, okay, the Bible isn't man's recording. It's God's word.
Right.
Okay, this, as I understand it, okay, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
All the stories, all the words of the book are God's word, given to man to record. But it's quite interesting.
I've got a Bible around here somewhere. You go ahead and go on with T. I'm going to see if I can't do a little more research on what I'm working on.
Anyhow, sorry to open up that can of peas.
No, oh, that's all right.
It's kind of curious.
Mm-hmm. I'll put on the next person. And we'll work through the roster.
Okay.
Thank
you. Beautiful.
I don't have anything, Dave.
No, nothing. What about you, young man?
Nope.
You got no questions at all?
Nope.
None at all?
Nope. How do we control his anger, Tia?
Focus it. Use it.
You want to elaborate a little bit?
Mm-hmm. What are you angry at, Tyrell? What gets you angry?
A bunch of stuff.
Bunch of stuff, such as?
You stumped me.
I stumped you?
Yeah.
Hmm. You like to prove people wrong, don't you?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Well, you can focus your anger into proving people wrong. Yeah, you know, people say that you can't do such a thing. Let's say you can't get straight A's all the time. You want to prove them wrong? I bet you can get straight A's if you put your mind to it. And the thing is with doing homework is the quicker you get it done, the quicker you can get out and have fun. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Baseball player.
Baseball player, huh? Well, the thing is to focus that anger on hitting the ball. But you're not going to be a baseball player forever, are you?
No. Nope.
What do you want to be after you're a baseball player? You want to be something great, right?
Yeah.
What things are you interested in?
Football.
Football.
Hockey.
Hockey. So you're very interested in sports, huh?
Yeah.
Well, to be good at any sport, you've got to be able to do maths, right? You know, work out the arc of the ball. You see the ball coming towards you, right? You know where to hit it, but do you know how hard to hit it? And how far you're going to hit it? That involves maths and physics. So by studying maths and physics, you know how to play the game. Now, if they give you a book on the rules of the game and fitness and technique and so on, you've got to be able to read those rules very carefully. So therefore, you need to learn your English very well. And by using your anger, right, you can focus it on being the best that you can be at being involved in sports. And the more you learn about sports, the more you know about it, and the more you can tell people about it, which teaches you confidence and how to be eloquent in communication. So by doing that, you're focusing your anger on being the best player of any game that you want to play. So when you're angry, what you do is you remember that, if you control your anger and focus it on what you're doing, right, you can do a good job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I could just get into practice.
Mm-hmm. I think he's big enough to realize that time's running out. You're not going to be in school forever. And if you want to be somebody like, Ruth? Baby Ruth?
Yeah, Babe Ruth.
Oh, wow, so how's a few letters.
One letter.
One letter. Ah, I don't read English very well. You want to be somebody like him that is remembered long after you're gone. You've got to learn how to focus that anger and use it. You've got to know how to hit the ball just right so that it's hard for the people to catch. And when you hit the ball, you hit it as hard as you can with all the anger that you can. So it goes flying great distances.
Tia, can mm-hmm. I interject something here?
Yeah, sure.
You wouldn't believe what kind of an artist this young man is.
Oh, you're an artist as well, huh?
Yeah.
You thought about being an architect? Building houses? Or drawing houses? And getting people to build them for you? You see, when you've finished playing baseball, you've got to have another trade. You can't live off of the money that you made as a baseball player. That's going to disappear. So you've got to learn all sorts of things. You could build a house that's like a baseball diamond. You could build a house that's got all the key parts of baseball. I don't know what they are, but I'm sure that you could translate them into building something. Or you could become whatever you want to be. But the thing is that you have to focus your anger on where you want to be in 10 years, 15 years. 20 years. 25 years. Anyway, I pulled the nap time. I got to put on the experts.
You're in rare form tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You going to check out on us for a while?
Yeah, I'm going to go off and do some research.
Greetings and felicitations. Greetings, Skip.
Good evening.
Greetings, young man. Greetings, young lady. Greetings, Russ. Okay.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Great, but I'm getting better.
Good. Good. Okay, I'm here to answer questions.
Okay, are you the one that's
That is Kara.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind.
Healer extraordinaire, so I have been told to say.
Okay, I'll pass on you then.
Okay.
Okay, we're doing a discussion on the Bible and all.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was paying for the pension.
Okay, here's something I want to interject here then real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the chapter before, the Tower of Babel, which is Genesis 10, which describes the nations descended from Noah,
mm-hmm.
chapter 10, verse 10, I shall take verse 9. He was talking about Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it was said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Kelne in the land of Shinar.
Mm-hmm.
Then you went over to chapter 11, and it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And they said to one another, come, let's make fake bricks. And they made bricks for stone and the asphalt for mortar. And they said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heaven. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Come, let us go down, they will, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. The Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I get the feeling from reading the two different chapters
mm-hmm.
that there is a time lapse
yes.
that takes place.
Quite a time lapse.
Quite a time lapse. Now, as we know, most people that we're talking about here are descendants from the fall of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hence the one language.
Hence the one language, Syrian.
A dialect
of Syrian. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if we were discussing the nuclear blast that we were discussing before in past sessions, mm-hmm. and this is one of the places where that happened, then that would scatter people because they wouldn't want anywhere near where this came out.
And it would be taken as an act of a deity.
A deity, correct. And the same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
It would be taken as an act of a deity. And I mean, scientists have shown that a nuclear blast, though low in radiation, is very possible for the same effects that took place in Sodom and Gomorrah and caused those things that happened.
You have to remember that the technology difference between then and now is quite different. A nuclear device could be of quite a size, and if it is refined and cleaned enough before being used, it does not deliver a high yield in radioactive.
Yeah, we use quite dirty nuclears, right?
Correct.
And there it could have been a real clean nuclear reaction.
Correct.
So it sounds like what it is that these are
describing the side effects from a blast. The Tower of Babel is a metaphor for a projected goal, a union to rebuild, as it says, a city, to rebuild what once was. And most cities of that time did have a very high point in them, a point where they could worship a higher deity. But unfortunately, any person with military knowledge will inform you that you build something high. It is visible from a great distance. Whether it is from the ground or from the air, it is visible for quite a distance, so therefore it becomes a target. And rival factions from other places will take the opportunity to disable the ability of a area. Also, the towers that they built at that time were a little bit like your communication masks that you have, but on a much faster scale, with their own power source.
Sort of like the Great Pyramid, but on a smaller scale.
Correct. And narrower, higher.
And narrower, but higher. Correct. Kind of like a airport control tower, you might say.
Kind of.
Right. Now, how about the correlation between the name Babylon and Babel?
It is a translation error. You have to remember that the translations from the various languages of your Bible
from its original conception until the present day, it had been translated how many times? At least 5, I believe.
Yeah.
And where to get changed.
I see. Now, with the people being scattered, their own languages would develop from that point.
Correct. Yes. Also, damage done by a nuclear blast would maybe necessarily confuse the brainwave patterns of individuals and affect their speech patterns.
Well, that's a point I hadn't thought of.
So there would be an instantaneous damaging for some people, and those people would be unable to communicate with people of the same language, but now it has become a different language.
What about genetic differences taking place after such a blast? Anything?
Certainly there would be genetic differences occurring. There would be mutations due to the low radiation yield, but genetic deviations would occur.
So in other words, it wouldn't be like where you have that nuclear blast now, people are like falling apart.
No, but there would be disruption.
You would get their DNA would be significantly altered compared to what it was prior to the blast.
Not significantly, but enough to rewrite their DNA and their personal code systems of the body.
So that would show up in different physical traits, correct?
Right.
So people going from that point would not only speak differently, but they would look differently from those...
Eventually, points. Yes.
Eventually, correct. So we're talking about a long time lapse here.
Correct.
I see.
There are hints in your Bible of longevity.
Well, yeah, just after that, it talks about guys living 200 plus years every...
You know, even 600 years plus.
Well, before that.
Yeah.
Before the Tower of Babel, it was 600 to 700 years.
Well,
after the Tower of Babel, they're talking 200 years.
Well, Moses lived 600 years.
Right. But that's prior to the Tower... No, wait.
No, that was
Moses, afterwards. Yeah, afterwards.
That was afterwards because he was in Egypt and he took his people out of Egypt.
That's right. That's right.
He parted the Red Sea.
So that could be one of the strains that weren't maybe affected as much?
That's possible.
That could be. That could be.
Okay.
But he lived in excess of 600 years.
And there are people that are recorded in your Bible living longer.
Yes, there are.
Okay, so in other words, our shortened lifespan could be perhaps a byproduct of these explosions, but...
There are other contributing factors.
Well, true, yeah.
Shortening of the lifespan.
And now... that we're becoming aware of our environments, our lifespans are starting to increase again. I think that the average lifespan in the 14th century was something like 35 years.
That's about correct.
But the early Hebrews and other people in that land, especially back in Genesis time, knew more about locusts and honey. And even that
as time progressed, people lost that. So their lifespan started to shorten.
Right.
Now we're getting back to it. We're starting to expand out our lifespan again through medication, through taking care of the human body and taking care of the environment and so on and so forth.
Now, a lot of healing techniques were carried off from Atlantis, correct?
Correct.
Some were left in Egypt.
A surprising high percentage of healers survived Atlantis.
Hmm. But unfortunately, most of the information they carried was either passed word of mouth or held on scroll.
Sure.
None of which would survive to the present day except...
Unfortunately, none.
Correct. So it could be that the longevity also be contributed to a higher healing skill.
This is possible because we're getting more education now.
Right.
Than you had in the 14th century or the 13th or 12th century. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, we're getting better educated, more conscientious of what's going on around us rather than being a small island of every family.
Right. It's almost like we're coming back together again, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
especially
seems
with the internet that I'm going back onto. And
yeah, we're getting back to... correspondence with other people rather than being an island by ourselves.
Right.
By expanding your conscience like this, by being in contact with other people, you're learning more faster than ever before.
True. Exponentially, Omar, we're like growing in leaps and bounds, aren't we?
Yes. You are learning rather rapidly. Sometimes it is alarming on how much you do learn. But in comparison with the elapsed time from one race to another, it is surprisingly slow.
Well, yeah, but to our short terms of lifespan, it's very swift.
Yes.
Because in my generation, which I'm considered an older person in human years, okay, to this young man here, he's learned more in his 11 years than I probably learned in 20.
Get you.
But anyhow, what Thank I'm you. Trying to say is the younger generation now is learning so much more, so much quicker than we did in my time. I say my time, I'm talking
Of course.
My generation. My generation was kind of a self-centered, family-orientated generation where you didn't go outside of that. You didn't have that much contact with other people or other races or anything else. Now, these young people that's coming up now, they've got contact with everybody.
Yeah, it's more extended.
Yes, it is. Way more extended.
Okay.
Because my grandfather never got over 50 miles away from his own property in his whole lifespan, and that was 85 years.
So, Amal, where's this all leading to then, if this is what...
It is leading to a time when races will start to come together as one. You already have an area where races are unifying.
Yeah.
Where other parts of the world, they're tearing themselves apart. But it is a process that will go on throughout the whole entire planet. There are factors coming into play that will slow this down, which is necessary because if you bring something to the boil too quickly, you spoil it. So by having a dissolution of societies and races, it's in actual fact benefits because it pulls those people that are intelligent enough together to achieve a common goal. It is almost like the Tower of Babel, a projected engineering, a process to achieve a goal. And things that are hurried are normally made a mistake of.
Would you consider, let's say, the internet as being sort of our Tower of Babel then?
It could be.
Because people speak with one language, thanks to the ability of computers to be able to just translate instantaneously words from one language so they can, like I could speak Japan. They could be typing in Japanese, I'm typing in English, but we both understand each other's languages.
Correct. It is the same sort of process. It is a project which has been many thousands of years in the world.
Which is taking us back to the Atlantean roots from whence force it all sprang?
That is possible. Remember, we talk in cycles.
Well, yeah, that's right. We're talking about the one goal that we set forth from Sirius.
To achieve a utopia.
Correct.
Okay, would this possibly be a goal of putting us into space to explore other worlds?
Returning to space could be a better way.
I'm sorry?
Returning back to space.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, but what I'm trying to say is by unifying the Earth.
That would be the perfect objective to reunify and to re-achieve and re-establish the contact that you once had.
That would be neat. That would really be neat.
And that is where you, as an engineer, come into play today. Maybe not this time around.
I'd love to. Oh, goodness gracious, I'd love to.
Maybe you should write down some of your dreams of engineering that you have had.
Oh, I'd love to go back to space. I really would, Omar. It just tickled me right down to the ground.
Okay. Let us continue.
Okay. Anybody else?
This is quite interesting tonight. It really is. I guess I opened a can of peas. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all right. This is where our best sessions come from. It's just, you know, off the top of our head.
Oh, man. But this is really super interesting tonight. Thank you, Omar. I appreciate it.
Now, Johnny had a question about nuclear testing that China and France are doing, or that's leading right now.
That is one of those factors that throws a insect in the ointment. At the moment, they are little insects, but if they are not controlled carefully, monitored carefully, they can be very detrimental.
That's the whole process we're talking about.
Correct. Because they are not cleaned, for one thing. Correct. Secondly, they are done in ill-conceived areas. Thirdly, it is creating friction, which will accelerate the process that we have discussed in the past.
Yeah.
Those countries now have become untrusted, which is the problem of reunification, that cannot happen until everybody trusts everybody else.
That's a big step.
Yes, it's a very big step, in a very necessary way.
Yeah.
There are other uses for nuclear devices than blowing each other up.
Well, we have power plants today in this country and several other countries around the world that